Hello everybody, this is Tantra FM and I'm your host Valentino. Today we shall be dealing with the following articles. Ejaculation control. During lovemaking, if a man cannot find the right rhythm, he will easily lose his vital essence. This will result in an ejaculatory orgasm which leads to exhaustion. If it happens frequently and in a short period of time, then the 100 diseases will start to develop in his body. According to an ancient Taoist known as Yufang Pi Chun. Stay tuned to find out some very practical advice covered by this article. Fragmented urination, one of the secret methods of controlling sexual energy. In Tibet, there are many controversies about the existence of the fifth Dalai Lama, who died in 1680 and who, because of his open attitude towards women, proved to be different from his predecessors. History says that one day this Dalai Lama answered his advisors who had criticized this attitude from the highest terrace of the famous Potala Palace. It is true that I have a lot of women, but those who criticize me have women too. Furthermore, the sexual union isn't for you what it is for me. To illustrate this, he urinated from the high platform. The urine came down from that high platform to the base of the palace, from level to level, and then, in what can only be called a miracle, the Dalai Lama actually sucked it back in. The entire jet of urine came back into his body under the stupefied eyes of his servants. Triumphant, he came back to his advisors and told them, "When you are able to do the same thing I have done, you will understand that my sexual practice is a lot different from the common one." A brief introduction into the 64 forms of eroticism. Kama Sutra is the classic treaty concerning the oriental art of making love. It talks about these 64 forms or arts. The text insists upon the fact that they should be taught at the same time as Kama Sutra. It is best that it is made by a competent spiritual guide and not by anyone. It would be best if they were taught by a competent spiritual guide and not just anyone. Plus, there are also a few other activities specialized on culture and free time. It is, in a few words, what should be expected from women and men. Nowadays, we can even add a few more technical innovations which they did not have back in those days. Stay tuned to find out what they are. Seven Gates Towards the Universe. Fifth Gate, Vishuddha Chakra. Part 1. Intense focus and meditation on the subtle element corresponding to the center of force is defined in the yoga texts as the special beatific expansion known as Akashi Dharana. The person who practices this form of meditation will not die or disappear at the dissolution of the world. This person will obtain the knowledge of the past, present, and future, as well as the control over the mysterious energies of time, according to a great enlightened human being known as Swami Shivananda. Also, please join us at the end of our broadcast when we will be performing a meditation in order to amplify the fifth center of force known as Vishuddha Chakra. Ejaculation control. In lovemaking, when a man does not find the right rhythm, he easily loses his vital essence, or sperm. The result of this discrepancy is forced ejaculation, which leads to exhaustion. If it happens frequently in a short period of time, then the 100 diseases will start to develop in his body. According to the ancient sage Yufang Pi Chun. According to Taoist philosophy, man, having all the male attributes, represents the yang force, the masculine principle, which is a lot more volatile, faster, and more active than the feminine principle, which represents the yin force. Women are more passive. Their moves are calmer and slower. By comparing male sexual vigor to female eroticism, the ancient texts often use metaphors of fire and water. Fire belongs to yang. Though its action is fast and strong, it is often defeated by water, which is a predominantly yin force. Nowadays, control over the ejaculation is a very important element in sexual intercourse. This is the most important issue in the Taoist art of love. Let's take into account some Taoist advices. Number 1. Beginners should not be too excited or too passionate, too hasty or too hurried. Number 2. The beginner must learn to penetrate the vagina very slowly and gently, and come out suddenly if he feels that ejaculation is imminent. Number 3. If he feels that the excitement increases too much, he must stop thrusting immediately and withdraw very slowly, so that only 1 or 2 centimeters remain inside the vagina. He must remain completely still in this position. Then he must breathe deeply, contracting his pelvic platform muscles very strongly, the anal sphincters and the PC muscle. At the same time, he must focus his mind on the process of holding back his sperm. Thus, he will sublimate and transmute the enormous force contained in the sperm into psychic, mental, and spiritual energy. After this period, which can be approximately 5 to 50 seconds, he can make some moves of gradual, prudent penetration. If he still feels that the excitement is too much, he must apply once more the method described earlier, the blocking method and even the three fingers method, before going back to intercourse. The blocking method is also valid for a woman, in the case where she has problems controlling her sexual energy. It will be even more efficient if both lovers use it at the same time, even if only one of them is close to having an orgasm. Number 4. The one who wants to control his ejaculation has to be careful not to be too hasty, and he must have a very strong tenacity. Number 5. The blocking method makes sexual control easier. It is very efficient, but it has to be used instantly, correctly, and at the right moment. It needs to take place sooner than the non-return point, when the ejaculation process has been initiated and the correct moment has passed. What is the advantage of having sexual intercourse without ejaculating, you say? It is a natural question that men ask from the beginning of their training to obtain control over their own sexual energies. Here is what an old Taoist treatise says. The Emperor Huang Ti asked his master in the Art of Love, "I would like to know now, what is the advantage of realizing sexual union always without ejaculating?" His initiator, known as Su Nu, answered, "If only once a man is capable of making love without losing his seed or sperm, he will strengthen his mind and his body very much. If he makes it twice, his hearing will be better and his sight also. If he makes it 3 times, he will be healed from all illnesses. If he makes it 4 times, his soul will be so much quieter. 5 times, and his blood circulation and heart condition will be greatly improved. 6 times, and he will get a very strong mental power. 7 times, and a huge happiness will come over him. 8 times, and his face and body will become radiant, magnetic and charming. 9 times, and he will be younger and live much longer. 10 times, and he will be like an immortal genius, having access to hidden, ultimate macrocosmic worlds, develop psychic powers, mental and spiritual paranormal capacities, etc. All these are also valid for women when they can control the explosive sexual discharge. When it is not controlled, it makes her lose her essential sexual potential that sustains her state of pleasure, and thus her erotic ability will be greatly diminished. Fragmented urination, one of the secret methods of controlling sexual energy. In Tibet, there are many controversies about the existence of the 5th Dalai Lama, who died in 1680 and who, because of his open attitude towards women, proved to be different from his predecessors. History says that one day this Dalai Lama answered his advisors who had criticized this attitude from the highest terrace of the famous Potala Palace. "It is true that I have a lot of women, but those who criticize me have women too. Furthermore, the sexual union isn't for you what it is for me." To illustrate this, he urinated from the high platform. The urine came down from the high platform to the base of the palace, from level to level, and then the miracle man, Dalai Lama, sucked it all back through his penis. The entire jet of urine came back into his body, under the stupefied eyes of his servants. Triumphant, he came back to his advisors and told them, "When you are able to do the same thing as I have done, you will understand that my sexual practice is a lot different from the common one." In Tantric Buddhism and Taoism, initiated people control their ejaculation completely by using special and secret techniques. This process requires absolute genital and urinary control. Taoists consider that urine and sweat are the manifestation of certain energies that must be controlled and beneficially oriented by the human being. Wise people consider that those who have control over their urinary potential also have control over their sexual potential. There are three very simple but efficient methods through which you can get control over the sexual and urinary potential. In reference to this connection between the urinary and genital systems, it is common that the embryo has, until the fourth month of development, the same urinary and genital apparatus. They use the same type of tissue even when they grow and develop into an individual. It is also worth mentioning that men find control of the urination process harder as they grow older and lose their sexual vigor, most of them having a prostate problem. Studies have reached the conclusion that men who have an irregular sexual life and who ejaculate frequently are the most predisposed to prostate diseases, to urinary incontinence and renal infections. Here are some methods to help you with this. First method consists of fragmented urination, which means urinating in very short jets with a few seconds pause in between. The pause has to be long enough so that the urine flow stops completely. In the beginning, there will be thrills through your body, especially up your spine. They will feel too strong for the weak ones. But these thrills are nothing else but a manifestation of this sexual energy, transmuted because of the firm and strong contractions of the urinary sphincters. Certain texts suggest that this energy, these thrills, must be visualized and directed up the spine to the zone in the middle of the forehead. Second method, called the short urine retention, is stronger. When you feel the need to urinate, you will relax the urinary sphincters and contract them immediately and firmly before the urine comes out of the bladder. It is a method that requires very good control and at first should be practiced only around and in the toilet. Exercises are usually done before urination. Obviously, we should approach this gradually and without forcing it. These two techniques are very efficient and should be practiced at each urination, transforming the common act of urination into a part of our daily training, to harmonize our sexual energy, to obtain control, or to maintain a perfect state of health and vigor. The effects: a better control over the creative and vital energy of the human, amplifying of the yang energy inside the being, that of solar, masculine, and control, increasing and refreshing the whole organism, increasing your willpower, easily maintaining erotic continence. By fragmenting the flow as many as 70 times in every urination for 3 weeks, you will advantageously improve a lot of affections and genital urinary dysfunctions. Also, you will have an increased and more harmonious sexual appetite. If the resulted energy from the transmutation of the urinary potential is directed and visualized as moving up the spine into Ajna Chakra, you will notice an increase in your mental capacities, your ability to focus and to concentrate. Here are some other secrets about fragmented urination and short urinary retention. When you feel tired after an involuntary loss of sexual potential through ejaculation, fragment your urine in as many jets as you can, ideally more than 70 times. During this technique, relax your body and feel the energetic thrills climbing up your spine. You should feel fully refreshed. In order to improve your sleep, eliminate bad dreams and nightmares, shorten a sleeping period and eliminate tiredness in the morning, use urine fragmentation or the technique of urinary retention before going to sleep. In order to use these two techniques, evoke a state of will and firmness before using them. use spine elongations and abdominal retractions as preparatory exercises. They are meant to purify the energetic channels through which the resulted energy will come. Third method. A quarter of an hour or an hour before making love, drink a lot of water or an infusion of juice. Over 1 liter is best, so that during sexual intercourse, you will feel the need to urinate. While you make love, try to relax the urinary sphincters and the whole abdominal area, as you would want to urinate. You can do that without any risk because it is practically impossible to urinate at that moment. The way the muscles of the penis act when erect do not allow the urine to come out. In a few minutes, you will feel that the energy goes up easily and spontaneously. It is possible for some extremely pleasant thrills and an intense state of erotic and affective effervescence to appear. This state can be prolonged for as long as you want by relaxing the sphincters and the inferior abdominal zone. Beginners have the tendency to be very contracted during intercourse because of their desire to have more control, which is wrong. In fact, the more the genitals are relaxed, the easier it is for the energy to move up, to control it, and to circulate it throughout your whole body. By practicing these techniques during intercourse, control can be easily accomplished. Much tension and inner stress can be eliminated by these exercises. Also, these exercises are very useful for obtaining control over the inferior abdominal zone, which is one of the hardest and most difficult zones to control. After studying a great number of patients with disabilities and psychic disturbances, specialists said that almost all their muscles are strongly contracted. They discovered that in accordance with the improvement of the symptoms, there was a corresponding physical muscular relaxation. Thus, they were able to medically prove what initiates have known for thousands of years, that any psycho-mental tension, sexual repression or inhibition is translated by our organism into involuntary genital contractions. Furthermore, they noticed that through the relaxation and control over the inferior abdominal muscles and genital muscles, there is a corresponding improvement in the psycho-mental life of a human. One question: if relaxing the genitals is so useful, then why do they recommend certain contractions, like the contraction of the urinary sphincters? The answer is that when the relaxation is perfectly controlled, then the efficiency of the contractions is maximized. Let us compare them to a ball that must be pushed in a certain direction. The ball is the erotic energy, the direction is up the spine, and the force that moves the ball is one of these contractions. If, for example, the pelvic contraction is very strong, and the rest of the body is relaxed, the energy will be pushed up as the ball would be. If you add other involuntary contractions from many different groups of abdominal muscles, the effect will be a lot weaker, just like the ball would move chaotically under the impulse of several forces. Harmoniously alternating contraction and relaxation is one of the best known secrets of the Taoist art of love. The connection between the inner mental, emotional state and the exterior manifestations during intercourse become obvious. Controlling these techniques means a lot more than mechanically conforming to rules. It is a sign of harmony and inner force. By practicing oriental erotic techniques, a new, lucid and sincere universe opens up for the user, a universe that was not even thought of. What greater joy could you offer a woman than to put the whole universe at her disposal?
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, your guide to sacred love. I'm your host, Amaris. The Kama Sutra is the classic treatise concerning the oriental art of making love. It talks about the 64 forms or arts. The text insists upon the fact that they should be taught at the same time as the Kama Sutra. It is best that it is done by a competent spiritual guide and not by just anybody. These arts and sciences, because there's no clear distinction between the two, include, among others, music, painting, weaving, reading, poetry, sculpture, gymnastics, games, flower arrangements, cooking, decorating, perfumes, gathering, miming, mental exercises, foreign languages, magic, chemistry, mineralogy, fortune games, architecture, logic, the art of being attractive, religious rituals, physical sports, and martial arts. Plus, there are also a few other activities focused on culture and free time. It is, in a few words, what they expected from Victorian women. Nowadays, we can add a few technical innovations, like, for example, photography. The Hindu texts on love suggest the fact that both men and women should be prepared in as many of the 64 arts as possible. That is because of the three main arguments. A person who is a master of these arts is generally also a very important person in society. Also, by applying these arts, you can obtain what you want in life more easily. And thirdly, a person who is a master of these arts is able to keep up with others in society. Even a superficial knowledge of these arts leads to an increased interest and attraction of other people towards you. Nowadays, there is a serious problem because of the fact that people become specialists in only one direction. There is a tendency to limit the mind's capacity of expressing intuitively the many faces of knowledge. The art of loving leans on other arts and uses them as its support. In case these means of expression are missing, our existence becomes boring and limited. Humanity depends on these arts as a way of communicating and for self-communication. There is no equivalent to the Kama Sutra, and maybe that is why sexuality in the West still has to grow and mature. Certain social precepts and a false sense of decency has deprived our contemporaries of a sincere and exuberant exploration of sexuality. All this is in spite of the so-called free attitude that exists in Western countries. Practically all the Occident can offer now is pornography filled with anatomic details and so-called techniques. They say that these are enough to solve sexual problems. One of the results is the inhuman sexual perversity that we will talk about later. Sexual intercourse is rarely presented adequately in Western art or Western literature. Generally, people either take sexuality and put it aside as something that doesn't belong to art, or they accept it as something commonplace. Unlike the Westerners, the Orientals don't see sexuality as something detachable or even as something opposed to spirituality. On the contrary, sexual intercourse is seen as something extremely special in relation to other arts. For example, all types of sexual positions were presented in temples, and they were all worshipped. In the intimacy of the home, the whole domain of erotic art, as well as its specific literature, were considered a natural case of study and highly respected. The Oriental sexual behavior goes far beyond the limited domain of the Occidental normal state. Celibacy, monogamy, polygamy, and polyandry all have their own well-established place in Oriental culture. The 64 forms of eroticism must be understood as the 64 ways of creative energy. They are all emanations of the goddess Saraswati, the anima of Jung psychology. These arts can be compared to the flames of an inner sun that travels to and spreads in the solar plexus. By burning the lack of science, these flames purify the psyche and transform the individual inside. As practical methods, they charm the ones who love them and perfect the perseverant practitioner. The human being must study the 64 arts and sciences and also the 64 aspects of the sexual union, says the Kama Sutra. And in Naropa's Secret Learning, we read, quote, "Around the belly button there is a center of subtle transformation. It can be considered a lotus with 64 petals or a powerful sun with 64 rays. Its color is golden and it faces the sky." End quote.
This is Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Valentino.
Seven gates towards the universe. Fifth gate, Vishuddha Chakra. Part 1. Intense focus and meditation on the subtle element corresponding to the center of force is defined in the yoga texts as the special beatific expansion known as Akashi Dharana. The person who practices this form of meditation will not die or disappear at the dissolution of the world. This person will obtain the knowledge of the past, present, and future, as well as the control over the mysterious energies of time. Swami Shivananda. Location. The fifth energy center, Vishuddha Chakra, is located in the physical body around the area of the neck, represents pure consciousness and creativity. Symbolical representation. It is the dwelling of sound, dreams, and the symbol of purity. On the psychic level, it governs the awakening of inspiration, expression, eloquence, and archetypal models. This center of force is closely connected to the feeling of acceptance, superior reception, and subtle protection. On the physical level, it coordinates the activity of the vocal cords, the hearing system, pharynges, esophagus, as well as the spine. The corresponding glands are the thyroid and the parathyroid. This center of force is connected to the complex process of nourishment. Characteristic reactions due to an energy disturbance. The person in whom the energies characteristic of Vishuddha Chakra are disturbed will face an imbalance on the level of the above-mentioned glands. The emotional factors triggering this disease are important to keep track of. These factors are translated into symptoms such as insomnia, anxiety, and depression. Characteristic element: the subtle energies of ether. Sensory organ: the ear. Sense: hearing. All the miraculous possibilities, the gifts, the powers named by Oriental tradition as siddhis, are related to the activation of Vishuddha Chakra. More specifically, they are related to the fifth element known as ether. The effects of meditating on this chakra are inner calm, serenity, purity, a melodious voice, and the awakening of artistic inspiration, as well as the ability to interpret sacred writings, scriptures, and the ability to understand the hidden message of dreams. The person under Vishuddha Chakra's influence will no longer find the distractions and pleasures caused by the senses and intellect attractive or important. Such a person will seek real knowledge beyond the limits of time and beyond hereditary or cultural conditioning. Entering its field of energy equals the freedom from the whirlpools of this world and the control over our ego. The idea of cosmic consciousness is related to the center of force. Both psychologically and physiologically, Vishuddha Chakra represents a complex nurturing process. The balanced development of the three centers of force leads to the formation of a balanced and harmonious personality. The fourth center of force, Anahata Chakra, is an intermediary stage, a central point that unifies the inferior levels with the superior levels. The sphere of survival, social living, and assertion of one's personality with the subtle, refined levels of manifestation. It is not by accident that Anahata Chakra is the center of the heart, of love, and of awakening the soul. The next stage is then to acquire a superior state of receptiveness and to open up towards divine inspiration. In a way, Vishuddha Chakra corresponds to the process of nurturing, both physically and subtly, referring to an energy-based nourishment through access to the superior worlds of this universe. On this stage, the notion of superior inner consciousness becomes accessible, and the person may intuitively discover the mysteries of divine manifestation. Time is the mirror of eternity. The state of receptiveness towards the superior elevated worlds makes it possible to open some access points into these universes. These experiences can appear spontaneously in meditations, or they may be reached through divine grace. The psychologist Abraham Maslow named them peak experiences. For all the people who had such experiences, In their moments of ecstasy, intuition, and transcendence, these experiences represent the most important thing in their lives and are considered the most precious aspects of life that give it its value and measure. They may be experienced as overcoming and transcending one's individuality, or simply as a sensation of existing outside normal time.
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, the light that sets you free. I'm your host, Amaris. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme: amplifying the fifth center of force, Vishuddha Chakra. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position, and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you're eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Focus your attention on the middle of your neck, which represents the projection of Vishuddha Chakra in your physical body. The symbolic representation of Vishuddha Chakra is a lotus flower with 16 petals, symbolizing the 16 energy channels or nadis situated here. This chakra represents pure consciousness, creativity. It governs the awakening of inspiration, expression, eloquence, and archetypal models. The center of force is closely connected to the feeling of acceptance, superior receptivity, and subtle protection. The element it resonates with is the subtle energy of ether. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect: amplifying the fifth center of force, Vishuddha Chakra. Let us begin.
Nakureru. Sore wa toki no maho. 明日同じ時、違う魔法。それは色が香りに、香りが色に変わる時。そして影は限りない青に溶ける。
Thank you.
それは時の魔法。明日同じ時、違う魔法。それは色が香りに、香りが色に変わる時。そして影は限りない青に溶ける。
That concludes our broadcast. Have a nice day, everyone.